Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Peichet, but that does not mean to throw this into the Bach. It means
That's a nice chop.
to pay special attention to the tracking cameras that we have on Dr. Barry this morning and to make sure that we keep them with us till the bitter end. Yes, indeed. We're on to you, Doc. Now, the truth is that being as today's Mishnah is really about Doc, I think you should actually be careful to pay close attention this morning. And with Trevor here, that should be easy to do. In case you missed out on Bame Mavlikin this week, this is a good way to make up for it. So what is it that you can use to cover up the dam when it says in the Torah to cover it up the afar? What is included in that concept of afar? Well, mechasin bezevel hadak or bechol hadak, you see? So you can cover it up with would be fine zevel. Remember that dung was used basically for covering many things in those days. And you can use it fine sand and seed, vechar seed. You can use lime. You can use pottery that was broken up. You have a brick. We have the cover of a barrel, which in those days, the barrels, of course, were made out of cheres, and the top was made out of a piece of cheres as well, as long as they were crushed up. So all of these things are basically, as we'll see, things that can be used to support the growth of a plant if you put a seed in them. It doesn't mean it'll do necessarily very well, but it will start to grow. But you cannot use mirei mechasin lo bezevel hagas velo bechol hagas. You can't use coarse zevel, coarse sand, velo belaveno megufar shelo chitashan, or obviously things like a brick or a barrel cover that was not crushed up. And covering it up does not mean to take a plate and to put a plate over the blood and thereby to cover it, as you can see. Klal amar Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Basically, the general approach is, says Rabbi Gamliel, that a davar shemegadel bo tzmachim mechasim bo, v'she'eno megadel tzmachim ein mechasim. So if this is able to support plant growth, then you can use it for kisui adam. If not, it's not included in the word afar. So hechi damichol hadak. So what actually qualifies as fine? I mean, it's a very broad concept, isn't it? It means that a producer of pottery is able to use it directly in his kiln, and he doesn't need to crush it anymore. That is considered to be the professional definition of dak. Now, some say this, but they say it in a different way. They say it on the sefer of the Mishnah. So you can amount in la seifa. The seifa says you cannot use zevel hagas and you cannot use chol hagas. So they put it this way. How do we define something that's coarse? Omer Abba Barbachon, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, if the yotzer, so the person who's creating these pots of potter, if he needs to grind it more, then it's still considered to be coarse. Now that sounds basically the same, but there is a difference between the two lashonas. My binayu, the difference between them is where it's right on the borderline, meaning it's capable of being in your hand like sandstone. You could take your hand and you can rub it in your hand, and it's mifrecha fruche, and you don't really need for it to be put through the ketisha, which they used to have a mortar and pestle and so on. You don't need to use that. You can use your hand. So the question is, if you say it on the resha, and that says any chol that doesn't need further crushing, that's good enough, that's fine. So then that would mean something that still needs you to move it between your fingers and to be crumble it in your fingers. that is still considered to be fine because it says any sand. But if you use it on the safe, it says any sand that you do need to do some grinding on, then this would be a broader category, and that would still be called coarse. Because what's the difference if you put it through the clay or put it through your fingers? It's not usable as is. Tanarabam. Vichisohu, this pasuk that says, Vichisohu be'afa. You might think that that meant cover it over, meaning that it shouldn't be visible. So you can take some stones, throw these stones over it. Or you can take a plate, a breakfast plate, and put a plate over it, and now the blood is invisible and it's covered. Talmud Lomar, no, be'afar, you have to use the earth. Well, if that's the case, then doesn't it mean only earth? I mean, how do you know that it could be even Zevel HaDak and Chol HaDak and things that we said before, Shechikat Avanim, Shechikat Charsi, even Ne'oret Pishtan Daka, that if you got the chaff that comes when you're processing the linen, that's also considered to be something that is like the afar. Or how about Nisoret Shocharashin Daka? What about if you've got sawdust, fine sawdust, or what about seed and charsit? Those are things that we spoke about. You've got lime, you've got the clay that is used for making pottery. Use a brick or a megufata chavit that you crushed into very fine pieces. Talmud Lomar v'chisau. That's why it says v'chisau. So actually, it says v'chisau before. It doesn't say v'chisau afterwards. It says v'chisau be'afar. Now, if the Torah wanted to make absolutely clear that you need to use afar and only afar, then the correct way to say it would be to say v'shafachet abo ube'afar yechasenu. But once you say the word v'chisau first, then you are giving us a general rule, a verb that is very general, v'chisau, with whatever. Then when you say be'afar, you're giving us a model. Now we're going to discuss in a minute why this isn't the klal or prat and so on. We'll talk all about that. But in any event, so on the one hand, we've got a reason to say it means dafke be'afar. And on the other hand, we have a reason to say that it means b'chisau anything at all. So what makes you come up with these particular mentions? What's the category? Because achar shiriba ketuvu miyed, on the one hand, the Torah is giving us a broad definition of the verb. And on the other hand, it's telling us a very specific object. So marba ani et elu, she'einin afar, things that are similar to soil. Okay, soil. Even when you go into your plant store and you order soil, it's got all these kind of other things mixed in it, things which encourage growth of plants and so on. It doesn't mean dafka dirt. So I forgot what they call it. There's a special name for it when you go in and you buy a sakit of this stuff. I can't remember. Anyway, but I include anything that would be included in that overall. But motzi ani she'ein min afar. But wait a minute, don't we have a general klal that a klal and a prat ain't b'klal ela masha b'prat? This sure sounds to me like a classic klal or prat. V'chisau, okay, so that you're saying with anything, and then you say be'afar. So it's mamish klal or prat ain't b'klal ela masha b'prat, and that would mean dafka afar in, nothing else at all. And that would be the very good way for the Torah to tell us, I mean afar and I when I say afar. Omer of Mori, because there is a special rule that's attached to the din of klal uprat. And that is a klal which is tzorech lifrat. If you absolutely need the frat in order to define the verb, let's think about this. If you just say v'chisau, well, what does that mean to you? It means it should be covered. Okay, if I put a plate over it, it's certainly covered, isn't it? I put a piece of paper over it, it's certainly covered. So I have no idea what that verb means, because the verb to vichisa can be simply to make something invisible, cover it from your eyes. It could mean to have something that is actually no longer possible for me to expose, so it's now covered underground. I mean, how do I know what the verb means in this case? That's called a klal hatzorich lifrat. If I don't give you this model of afar, then you don't even know what verb of vichisau I mean. So it's absolutely necessary to give me a model And therefore, it is not a model that is meant to restrict the verb to that specific model. So if it's a klalu prat, where if you wouldn't have given me that prat, I still would have understood what you mean with the klal, that indeed is meant to be ein b'klal ala mashe b'prat. But if it's a klal hatzarich lefrat, and I can't understand even the meaning of the klal, in this case a verb, I have no idea what that means, ein daninoto b'klal uprat. Because of that, I have basically a miut on the one hand and a riboy on the other hand, and now that means, okay, use your brains to set up a category that would incorporate the general concept of afar. Dorish Rav Nachman Barafista, ein machasin elo bedavar shezorin bo umatzmiach. What we mean is you've got to be able to actually put something in it and then it will grow. So it has to be something in which it will sprout. And that means that the type of soil that is difficult for plants to grow in, so it's very salty soil, things like that, a soil that you find sometimes in the desert that may not be the type of soil that even with water things can grow in. Whatever it is, if it's not something that you could use to make the seed sprout, then that is not called an actual offer, even though if you already have a plant that's growing, the plant might survive in it. Omar Rava, come on, that's ridiculous. This is garbage. I don't know where he gets something like that. And as usual, whenever Rava says that, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak comes back and says to Rava, garbage? I taught it to him, and it sure ain't garbage. So here too, Omar Le Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Le Rava, what? And apparently, what do you say, Burkhate? What do you call this garbage for? Anam Ritanele, I taught it to him this way, and it's very well based on the following braita. Umi hamat nitam Ritanele. Hayam halech bamidbar ve'in lo afar lechasot. If somebody is walking through the desert and he doesn't have any afar, what should he do? Well, man, this is a mitzvah. You do whatever you got to do. Do you have gold? You got a gold wristwatch? Grind up your gold wristwatch, and you can. We're going to see that Zahav is called Afar because it says Afrot Zahav, right? Grind up your wristwatch. This is a mitzvah. So you take a dinner Zahav, grind it up, and then you can use that to be Mechasa. And what if you're on a ship and you've got nothing to cover it with? Well, you got a talus, don't you? Burn up your talus and use the afar to cover it up. This is a mitzvah, man. Anyway, but don't you see clearly? How could somebody be walking through the desert and say he's got no afar to plant something in? Why? Water all around on the ship. Afar all around in the midbar. So what's his problem? So clearly, it must be what I said. It's not going to actually be useful for getting a seed to sprout in. So I was right. Because look, I understand that you've got to burn stuff or crush stuff in order to make it sprout. Now, wait a minute. I understand that you do find that ash is considered in the Torah almost as a synonym for earth, as we'll see in a moment. We do find that Afar is called Afar. Remember the Afar Srefat HaPara, obviously. And we do find that a dinner Zahav, ground up, could be called Afar. Where? Amar Rebbe Zera v'Afrot Zahav lo. So we see the Lashon in Iyov that it was like they say about America, the streets were paved with gold. So that was the actual covering of the earth. Tana Rabbanan. Ein machasin ela be'afar, literally. So Beit Shammai holds that it's got to be real earth. It can't be ash. Ubeit Hillel omrim, why? We do find that ash is called earth. Matsinu efer shekarui afar. I mean, if the Martian can use Martian soil, I mean, shouldn't we be able to use desert soil? Anyway, where do we find that Afar is called Afar? Shenema velakhu latame me afar srefa tapara. Now, as far as I know, we burnt the parah. It didn't turn into earth. It turned into ash. And the Torah calls it Afar. So you see clearly that these terms are interchangeable. says Beit Shammai, that's not interchangeable. It says me afar sreifa. Well, obviously, the earth of something that has been burnt and reduced to its elements, that's the point. So if you put it together with the afar of sreifa, then it's the same as ash. But it's certainly not the same as earth. You can't bring a raya from here. Show me a place where ash is called just plain afar. Never. Afar stama lo ikri. Tana, there's a lot of things that the Mishnah didn't list that the Braita says can easily be included in the things that we have here, such as Hosifu Aleihem, they added above and beyond as a continuation from that first Braita. We had all those things that actually included some things that were beyond the Mishnah too. They also went beyond that, and they said activated charcoal, that would be great to plant in, and you could use that for the Kisei Hadam. So HaShachor, HaKchol, which is that the stuff they use for the eyeshadow, Nikreit Pisulin, when you have to scrape out pick out the millstone gets overly smooth after you use it a lot. And so it's filled with this organic agricultural material, whatever it is you've been grinding, and it just fills up the millstone. In order to make it rough again, you pick out and scrape it off, and that way it becomes, the millstone becomes usable, or more usable. And meanwhile, you've got these, you know, little pieces of what looks just like dirt. Well, that's also good enough for planting. Some say you can also use the orpiment, which is it's a type of coloration. I'm not quite sure what it's made from. Omar Rava. Bishar Shamar Avraham Avinu. We're talking about Ofar and we're talking about Afer. Well, we know one place where it was put together, Avraham Avinu. He said, Anochi Afar Ve'Afer. Oh, so Bishus that he said, Anochi Afar Ve'Afer, Zochu Banav L'Shtei Mitzvot, Afer Para, the Afar Sota. Now, wait, what happened to good old Kisei Adam? Wait a minute over here. To say something like that in the middle of Perek Kisei Adam, that's outrageous. What happened to Kisei Adam? Why only Afer Parah and Afer Sota? V'lichshov nami Afer Kisei Adam? How come you don't include that? It's even double, right? Because Afer Ve'Afer, we just said use either of them. That should be a super mitzvah of Kisei Adam, which you use either Afer Ve'Afer. Because we're saying Bischus, Zochu Bod of L'Shtei Mitzvot. So the Zochu Bod of L'Shtei Mitzvot obviously means that it's a special pleasure that you have these mitzvot. It's not that stam, okay, I mean, we've got many, many mitzvot, but there are these two special mitzvot, we're saying, that are given in a way that gives us pleasure. Well, when it comes to Kisei Adam, we don't have any pleasure from the mitzvah. We just have a hechsher mitzvah. I mean, if we didn't have a mitzvah of Kisei Adam, would the food taste any differently? No, you'd still be able to eat perfectly fine. So what do we get out of this mitzvah in terms of actual pleasure from the mitzvah? So therefore, we're talking about things that really make the life a greater pleasure. That's what we were saying. And that is specifically these kind of mitzvahs, which actually provide us with the things that we enjoy. Because look, I mean, we're able to eat kachim and go into the Beis HaMikdash because of the Parah Aduma, and we're able to restore relationship with a wife that has become, in her husband's eyes, not trustworthy. And that's a big source. The Omar Rava. Bishar Sha'amar Avraham Avinu is another thing that Avraham Avinu said when he was offered the spoils of the war by the Melech Sidon. You know, I'll tell you what you can do. Just give me back the prisoners and I'll give you everything that they had of ours in Sidon. So he said, get out of here. I wouldn't take a chut atzruch now from your garbage. So you are going to tell me what I can take? Then I'm not taking anything. I didn't take nothing from you. So being totally biyodei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu and rejecting anything that was low class that should come from the Melech of Stone, Zochu banav l'shtei mitzvot, chut shel techelet and ritzu'ah shel tefillin. Now, wait a minute. You just told me that zochu banav has to mean a specific kind of gift that you get in Olam HaZeh, which gives you a pleasure from the mitzvah. Now, I understand the ritzu'ah shel tefillin. You could say that that's a reference to the tefillin shel rosh. And we know that the tefillin shel rosh we get a lot of benefit from because of the pasuk v'ra'u kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra lecha v'yar'u mimecha. So if the nations will be in awe of us because of that, that is definitely a hana that we have. Walk down the street and they avert their gaze. V'tanya Rebbe Eliezer HaGadol Omer, that's a reference to the tefillin shel rosh. But I don't understand what the chut shel techeles. What exactly is the value of the chut shel techeles? The Tanya. Rabbi Meir Omer, ma nishtana techelet mikol ha-tzivonim? What is so special about the techelet above and beyond anything else? Mipnei she-techelet dome liyam. And the yam itself is dome to the sky, to the rakia. And the rakia is dome to even sapir. So these are different shades, which you get closer and closer to the Evan Sapir, which is Deme Lekise HaKoved, Dechtiv Vayir'u, Et Elohei Yisrael, V'tachat Raglav, as it says, Kibase Evan Sapir, which is exactly Kizora Rakia. It's beautiful as the actual heavens. So there's a connection, therefore, to the Evan Sapir, but we know that the connection to Evan Sapir is considered to be a chibur to the Kisei HaKovod. Uchtiv kemarei Evan Sapir d'mut kisei. So in Yecheskel, where he's describing metaphorically the Kisei HaKovod, he calls it Evan Sapir. And that means that when you are wearing your techelet, then you are in fact ki'ilu in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who then remembers the mitzvah that you're doing, and because of that, you are zocha to being in the presence of the Shekhinah. I don't want to go too far, gentlemen. We could keep going, but I think we should leave tomorrow's daf for tomorrow, and even though we're having so much fun, and look, I mean, we do need to give Shmuel Chanina an opportunity. He's been trying so hard. And poor Dr. Barry has been stuck because of those cameras and tracking devices. So perhaps we should actually move on. And Mikey's having such a hard time listening in the bus. I mean, it's really hard. But no, you're okay, Mike. Okay. So I think maybe we should cut it here. And we've gotten through the way in which we need to understand the concept of Kisui in terms specifically of Afar. We've had a little bit of a machlokas about the extent of what we mean precisely about seeds. Do we mean germinating seeds? We mean plants that are going to continue to grow. We spoke about the machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about the interrelationship of ash to earth. We spoke about the Martian. We spoke about the question of the interrelationship, which of course is only hinted at over here, in Ofer ve'Efer, as it is that Avram Avinu mentioned it and the implications of those connections. And then we got on to discuss the other mitzvahs that we have a special relationship to because of the way that Avram Avinu insisted that our relationship should work out with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We didn't want any relationship to anything else. And because of that, we have this very super duper connection to the tefillin and to our tchelas. Okay, but this doesn't mean just plain old tzitzis. It means tchelas for all of you guys that are still resistant. I'm telling you,